Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How many of you stayed up late Friday night to ring in the new year? Okay. All right, a few of you.
But I didn't stay.
Well, you know, they say there are two types of people who stay up on New Year's Eve. Those who stay up to welcome the new year and those who stay up to make sure the old one leaves. Since this is the first message of 2022, I've entitled this message, The God of the New. The God of the New. And I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year, we thank you for being our comforter, our helper, our encourager, our advocate, our sure foundation, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we're so thankful that you're in our lives, and we would not want to go through this year or any other year without you. I pray that you'll use this year to draw us unto yourself and transform us more and more into the image of your dear Son. As your word goes forth this morning, I pray that it will touch every heart here, mine most of all. Break this jar of clay that the torch of your spirit might shine forth and be a light to your people.
Amen.
And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, when I first began preparing this message, I really intended for it to be a lighthearted, uplifting, inspirational message that would make everyone feel good and start this year off on a happy note. And don't get me wrong, I do believe that it's going to be an exciting year for Turning Point Church, and I'm really looking forward to the miracles and testimonies and good reports of what the Lord is going to do in our lives in this upcoming year. But that's a message for a different day. I don't normally speak prophetically. It's not my usual gifting. But today, God would say to us that 2022 is going to be a challenging year for the body of Christ, and that we're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare more intense than any we've ever experienced before. There's going to be a battle for the heart and soul of the church and the believers in it. The question before us is, are we going to stay separated from the world and be the light on the hill that Jesus wants us to be, or are we just going to be conformed to the world and gradually absorbed by it until our light is extinguished? This year is going to be a time of testing for the body of Christ. The devil is in a rage because he knows his time is short, so he's stepping up his efforts as never before to deceive the elect and cause the people of God to stumble and fall. Jesus himself expressed his concern about this. He said, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" God wants his church, including Turning Point Church, to be spiritually prepared and ready for this upcoming year by taking the four specific actions that we're going to talk about today. Vivian, if you please put up slide one. I call these actions the four R's for 2022. The four R's for 2022. Remember, repent, rededicate, and renew. Remember, what the Lord has brought us out of and what He has done for us. Repent from any sin that has entangled us. Rededicate our lives to Jesus and be renewed, allowing our hearts and minds to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Now, if you go to the next slide, Vivian, I'd like for us to examine each of these actions in a little more detail, beginning with remember. Just before the children of Israel entered the promised land, Moses took time to stop and read to them from what we now call the book of Deuteronomy. He reminded the people of what the Lord had done for them to get them this far. He reminded them of the commandments and the principles that the Lord had put into place to keep them safe, keep them healthy, to help them prosper, and to make them holy. He reminded the people that there were blessings in store for them if they followed God, and He warned them that there were curses in store for them if they turned away from God. Over 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, "Remember and never forget."
Amen. Amen.
Just to give you one example, I'd like us to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Here Moses says, "But watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren." There are several important principles in this scripture. Watch out. Be careful never to forget. Do not let these memories escape from your mind and pass them on to your children and grandchildren. It's good to be reminded from time to time of what we came out of, where we've been, and what the Lord has done for us. Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit to remind you of everything I have told you." The Apostle Paul said, "I want to remind you of the gospel that I have preached to you. I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that you received by the laying on of hands." The Apostle Peter said, "I want to remind you of the things that I have taught you, things that you already know but perhaps have forgotten. And I will keep on reminding you of these things as long as I live." Just as Moses and Jesus and Paul and Peter took time to stop and remind God's people of what God had done for them, we should all take time at the beginning of this new year to remember what God has brought us out of, what He has taught us, and what He has done for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Someone once said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And this certainly applies to the Christian life. If we don't occasionally take time to remember what the Lord has brought us out of, then we're in danger of falling back into it.
That's right.
And if we don't take time to remember what the Lord has done for us, then we're in danger of taking His power and grace for granted and thinking that we saved ourselves through our own works and our own righteousness. Jesus warned us about this attitude in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where He says this, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus didn't give us these words to condemn us or to frighten us. He gave us these words because he's a good father, and like any good father, he loves us, and he's warning his children about doing things that are harmful to them. He's warning every church, including Turning Point Church, to remain vigilant and watchful and to always resist that very human tendency to fall into a rut, to get comfortable, to slip into complacency, and just to keep doing the same things the same way because that's the same way they've always been.
Amen. Yes.
And by the way, I'm preaching to myself here more than anyone else, but I hope that y'all are getting something out of it too. Vivian, if you could put up slide 3, please. The second of the four R's that we need to focus on this morning for this upcoming year is repent.
Amen.
Repent. Turning around from any path that leads away from God and getting back on the path that leads to Him. I think most of you would probably agree with me that the most important point in a believer's life is that moment when he or she confesses Jesus as Lord and makes a conscious decision to follow Him. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And the Apostle Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Hallelujah. Yes.
God is the God of the new.
Yes.
When I was baptized many years ago, I remember the pastor first asking me if I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then, as he put me under the water, I remember him saying, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism and raised up to walk with Christ in newness of life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we make that confession of faith and that decision to follow Jesus in baptism, our old sinful man or woman is immediately transfigured into a new creation. Jesus forgives us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. One scripture says that he removes them as far as the east is from the west. Another says that he casts them into the depths of the sea. Then God begins in each of us that lifelong process that Sister Bonnie alluded to in her comments earlier, that lifelong process whereby we are transformed by the renewing of our minds into the image of Jesus.
Amen.
But God gives us a free will. And every day, multiple times a day, we have to decide for ourselves whether our minds are going to be conformed to this world or transformed into the image of Jesus. We're not perfect people, and some days we do better than others. When we do well and we're becoming more and more like Jesus over time, that process is called sanctification.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sanctification, which literally means the process of becoming holy. And that's certainly the direction that God wants us to go. But when we don't do well, and we become less and less like Jesus over time, that process is called backsliding.
Yes.
Which literally means turning back toward the sin we were delivered from. Being sanctified means moving forward toward a Christ-like life. Backsliding, just as the name implies, means moving backward toward our former life of sin and self. In Scripture, God uses three very vivid metaphors to describe backsliding. First, he says that the backsliding believer is like a pig that returns to its mud hole to wallow some more in the mud. He also says that the backsliding believer is like a dog that returns to its own vomit. Now, some of you people that have been around dogs a lot, can you tell me what a dog does when it returns to its own vomit? Sorry, can you hear you?
No. He eats it.
What'd you say, Rosie?
He eats it.
It eats it. When a dog returns to its own vomit, it eats it. Now, if you find that thought disgusting, then you probably have some notion of how God feels about sin. And lastly, God compares the backsliding believer to a man plowing a field. And he says, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't plow in a straight line if you're constantly looking behind you. You'll wind up plowing a furrow that's zigging and zagging all over the place. But a good farmer will locate an object off in the distance, a landmark in front of him, and he'll keep his eyes fixed on that landmark as he plows so that he can keep his furrows straight. Brothers and sisters, let Jesus be your landmark. Amen. Fix your eyes on him. Head straight for him. Head toward him without looking back, and the furrows that you plow in this life will always be straight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
In spite of the efforts of the devil and our own flesh to convince us otherwise, we don't need to sin in order to have happy, fulfilling lives.
That's right.
That is a lie and a deception straight from the pits of hell. I hope everybody here recognizes that. Mm-hmm. That's Christianity 101. You don't need to sin to be happy. Just the opposite. Sin harms us. It harms those around us. And it creates a rift in our relationship with God. Sin urges us to run and hide from God instead of running to him. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he said to God, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Brothers and sisters, when we fall into sin or we find ourselves backsliding, we must resist the urge to run from God and hide. And instead, our first impulse should always be to run to him. Because he's the one who can bring forgiveness, restoration, and deliverance. Amen. And he will if we will just put down our flesh, put down our pride, and humble ourselves and submit to his loving authority.
Hallelujah.
And if we're just willing to do that, then God makes two very great and precious promises to us. The first one is in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 4, where God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him.
Thank you, Lord.
And the other is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now, some might say, Brother Glenn, what's all this talk about sin and backsliding? After all, we're spirit-filled, full gospel, hand-raising, tongue-speaking, drum-beating, guitar-strumming, tambourine-rattling, non-denominational, charismatic super-Christians. Surely we're not capable of falling into sin or backsliding. We're above sin and backsliding. What you're saying may apply to the Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans, but it doesn't apply to us. Well, folks, first of all, according to the Word of God, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Yes.
Furthermore, I've been part of the charismatic movement for over 45 years, and I can tell you with certainty that given the right circumstances, any Christian, spirit-filled or otherwise, is capable of backsliding and falling into sin.
Amen. That's right.
More times than I care to count, I've seen it happen in this church, I've seen it happen in other churches, and I'm sorry to say I've experienced it in my own life. God warns us in advance when he says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. But how easily we cast aside that warning when it suits us and the lusts of our flesh come into conflict with the will of our God. God says that when we give in to sin, we are trampling the Son of God underfoot, and we count the blood of the covenant by which we were sanctified a common thing, and we insult the Spirit of grace. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, if I seem harsh this morning, I apologize. But please understand that I'm preaching mainly to myself. But I am mad at the devil, and I hope you are too. I'm tired of watching him ensnare God's people in sin like birds trapped in a net and snatching them away from the body of Christ and taking them captive.
Amen. Amen.
Let's do better in 2022.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Vivian, if you'd put up slide 4, please. The third of the 4 R's that we need to focus on in this upcoming year is to rededicate our lives to Jesus and to have a renewed determination to follow him. No matter what happens in the world around us, and no matter how hard the world tries to conform us to itself. God's word plainly warns us that in the last days, sin will run rampant, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, and men will become lovers of self and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It should be evident to anyone with eyes and ears that there has been a seismic shift in this country towards sin and unrighteousness,
yes.
And this country is moving faster and further away from God with each passing year, and except the Lord returns, I don't think it will be any better in 2022. There's a scripture in the book of Amos that I think applies right now to this country and to many of the churches in it. Let's look at the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Now, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit has abandoned America, but I do believe he has taken a big step back. And he's going to allow our nation to suffer the natural consequences of turning away from him. He will first try to get the nation to see the error of its ways and return to him. But if that doesn't work, he will bring judgment. It's like a father dealing with a stubborn child who won't listen to sound advice. And finally, the father just takes his hands off and allows the child to make painful mistakes and learn the lessons for himself the hard way. And if the child persists in refusing to listen to his father or learn from his own mistakes, then there will be nothing left but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. And Scripture says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes. And the churches in America should not become complacent and make the mistake of thinking that we are immune to the same chastising and judgment that's about to come upon the world. Jesus warns us about this in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 2, verse 5, he said this, "Remember, therefore, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." But in verse 19, he goes on to give us a word of hope. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. These words can apply to churches in America today just as surely as they applied to the churches 2,000 years ago. Now, Jesus doesn't want to chasten or bring judgment on Turning Point Church or any other church. So he told us these things ahead of time, not to frighten us or to condemn us, but because he loves us and he's trying to warn us. He wants us to avoid the chastisement and judgment that's going to come upon the world. And he does give us a wonderful promise that if we will just search for him with all our heart, we will find him.
Amen.
In this upcoming year, the church in America, including Turning Point Church, must be prepared, must be vigilant, must be strong in spirit, and must be determined to follow Jesus. We need to keep oil in our lamps at all times and be ready for the coming of our bridegroom. We mustn't become complacent and allow the world to pollute the church with its sin and wickedness and ungodly teachings. We mustn't allow the world to push us around and tell us how we're the ones who need to change, that we're the ones who need to get woke. I'm reminded of a column I read in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram many years ago. It was written by a lady named Molly Ivins, who was a columnist for the Star-Telegram. And she once made the comment, she said, you know, Christians suffer from culture lag. Christians suffer from culture lag. They're just behind the times. Christians perpetually stay behind the times. But if you just give them a chance and give them enough time, eventually they'll catch up with everyone else.
The Bible says.
Amen. You know. So, as I've said many times before, brothers and sisters, we're on a narrow path. The world is on that wide path that leads to destruction. We're on a narrow path that leads to salvation.
That's right.
And people can accuse us of being narrow-minded all they want, but I'm here to tell you, being narrow-minded is not a bad thing to be, you know, when you're on a narrow path.
That's right.
So, we need to rededicate ourselves to following Jesus so that we can go forth in the power, authority, and
yes.
boldness that God has
yes.
given us so
yes.
that we can bring light and the gospel message of salvation to the world.
Glory, hallelujah. Yes, amen.
I'd like to share with you what I think is a very timely quotation from former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Vivian, if you could put that up, please. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." Saints, in this upcoming year, let us stop sitting on the sidelines talking about how bad everything is and waiting for God to move and heal our nation. Our nation is going to hell, but God is looking at His church and saying, "What are you going to do about it?" I don't think y'all got that.
Say amen.
Say amen.
Oftentimes, we as believers sit on the sidelines and talk about how bad everything is, and we wait for God to move and heal our nation. But Scripture says that God is looking at His church and saying, "What are you going to do about it?"
That's right.
To put it in scriptural terms, God says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yes, glory. Glory.
Vivian, if you could put up slide 6, please. The last of the four R's that we need to focus on as we enter into 2022 is to be renewed. Be renewed. Jesus makes all things new.
Thank you, Lord.
His mercy and compassion are new every morning.
Amen.
He has entered into a new covenant with us and freed us from the law of sin and death. He has made us a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He has given us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. He has removed the heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. He has given us the new wine of the Holy Spirit to bring us love, joy, peace, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. He has placed a new song in our hearts to give us a new outlook on life, to fill us with hope and confidence and boldness and assurance. He renews our minds and transforms our thoughts and attitudes into the image of Jesus Christ. He renews our strength every day so that we can mount up as, with wings as the eagles. And when we meet the Lord face to face, whether by death or by rapture, He is going to give us a new body that will never again experience pain or sickness. There will be no more tears, and He will give you a new name, a term of endearment known only to the two of you. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old ones will pass away. Amen. And the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a mansion for you there.
Hallelujah.
Behold, He makes all things new.
Thank you, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, when we first came to the Lord, He gave our hearts and minds a thorough spring cleaning, and He made all things new. But as we go through life, sometimes without even realizing it, we allow things to enter into our hearts and minds that take up residence there and hinder our walk with the Lord and cause us to stumble. The Bible refers to these as the little foxes that spoil the vines. Fear, doubt, worry, anger, selfishness, sin, the lust of the flesh, temptation, all these things and many more try to attach themselves to us, to defeat us and cause us to turn aside from the narrow path we're on and hold us back from following the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As we begin this new year, I hope that we will all take an opportunity to do what Brother Jerry refers to as a dipstick check.
Amen.
And examine ourselves to see where we are in our relationship with the Lord. Is the altar of our heart in good condition, or has it fallen into disrepair? Are we closer to God now than we were at this time last year, or are we farther away? Are we being transformed into the image of Christ, or are we allowing ourselves to be conformed to the world? Are we seeking the Lord and following Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or have we backslidden, allowing sin to ensnare us and entangle us with a yoke of bondage? Or worst of all, have we just become complacent, apathetic, and lukewarm, just treading water until Jesus comes? If you would, please stand with me. And bow your heads. Sister Karen, if you would, please come forward.
Pastor Glenn. I give a testimony first.
Okay.
This song that we're about to sing, when my daughters were like 4 and 6 years old, and my first husband, we all went to this little charismatic group, and we were all standing there, and we started singing this song. And you know, the first verse, I'm like, oh yay! And then when we sang the second verse, "Don't run, go with me, so I will follow," God gave me a vision. Me on this little tiny path that I just had to walk almost like one foot in front of the other. Starting off down the path and turning around and seeing my husband and my children still standing there. And it broke my heart, but I'm like, this is what the song says. Though none go with me, still I will follow. So,
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Vivian. Thank you. Please bow your heads. Once again, I know this message seemed a little harsh, but I really believe that it's what the Lord wanted us to hear this morning. I hope you understand, brothers and sisters, that we don't serve a God of condemnation. We serve a God of love and forgiveness and restoration.
Amen.
He's the God of second chances. He's the God of third chances. He's the God of 70 times 7 chances. He is the God of the new. He is in the business of restoring and rebuilding and renewing. His mercy and compassion are new every morning. If you're that one sheep who has left the fold and wandered off, God will come looking for you, but it's not to punish you. He will come looking for you to try to restore you and carry you on his shoulders and return you to the sheepfold. If you're like that prodigal son who wasted his inheritance on riotous living, God may choose to leave you alone until you're tired of your sin and sick of eating pig slop and you're ready to come home. But when he sees you coming back up that road that leads home, he will run down to meet you and he will clasp his arms around your neck and he will kiss you and say, "My son was dead, but now he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found."
Amen. Thank you.
Perhaps there's some sin in your life that's hindering your walk with the Lord and you need to repent and return to him. If you do, God's word promises that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps you've backslidden and the Lord seems far away. You've been living for yourself instead of living for him, and you want to rededicate your life to him. Return to him. He won't be angry. He will rejoice because you have come home. Or maybe the altar of your heart has fallen into disrepair, and there are thoughts and attitudes in your life that you know aren't godly and shouldn't be there. You need for God to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, right where you are, if any of these things that I've mentioned apply to your life, and you need to get right with God in 2022, whether through repentance, rededication, renewal, or all of the above, then I'd like for you to please acknowledge your need to God by raising your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that have gone up, and we know that you will never turn away those who come to you. Your word promises us that if we ask, it shall be given to us. If we seek, we shall find, and if we knock, the door shall be opened unto us. Thank you for your unfailing love toward us, and we look forward to what you're going to do in the lives of your people in this upcoming year. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I've asked Sister Karen to lead us in a song, if you would please, Karen.
Thank you. Just happens, and a lot of times it's not a good life, and often we need to examine ourselves, often we need to repent, renew. That's a message from God to us at the beginning of this year, and it's a good message.
Yes.
Amen. No turning back.
Amen.
I never knew all that was in that time I knelt and said yes, but I haven't turned back. Maybe this year we'll find something else that God would like us to do. Amen. Love you guys. God bless. Hey guys, don't forget the Christmas ornaments.